Hey, Loz, finding the right people is tough enough. Then onboarding them effectively, managing them well, and supporting their progression is a challenge, which is why we're delighted this podcast is sponsored by Avature.
I know, those wonderful people at Avature. From sourcing to onboarding, talent mobility to performance management, Avature delivers the full spectrum of recruiting and talent management tools that leading organisations need. With Avature, you can manage the entire talent lifecycle from a single platform.
Visit avature.net and discover why Avature is trusted by 110 of the Fortune 500.
Or even better, join us at Avature's one-day summit in Sydney, where you can exchange ideas with top HR leaders and register now by the link in the show notes.
Ooh, and don't forget to tell them, Tarpod sent you.
Get ready. It's Tarpod time. We talk talent, recruitment, and everything in between. So strap in and prepare yourself for a dose of knowledge tied up in a ribbon of fun. Now, please join your hosts and industry leaders, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tarpod. I'm Craig.
And I'm Lauren. And we have a very special guest today.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, I know. It's quite interesting. You're going to love this one. It's Joel Sardi, who's an account manager at thefield.jobs. Now, welcome, Joel.
Welcome, Joel.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We had the pleasure of hearing you speak and meeting you at the ATC last year at Luna Park. And I got to say, what a bloody great concept your company is.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Hey, before we explore more thoroughly the field jobs, why don't we quickly get an understanding, Joel, a little bit around your background and how you got from where you started to where you are now. Look, just give us the two-minute Joel story.
Yeah, sure. So I'm currently sitting in a powered wheelchair because I'm a quadriplegic. I wasn't born like this, though. I sustained my injury nearly 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was serving in the Australian Army and, my career path was probably in front of me as I thought. Broke my neck and everything changed. So I went from an able-bodied, confident young man, to a man in a wheelchair in a hospital bed or a wheelchair, and suddenly started to see all these barriers in front of me just to basically progress through life. And that would be people's misunderstanding of who I was or what I was, a lack of opportunity when it came to employment, and then also just getting out into society. So, you know, I spent a long time grappling with my injury and then trying to come to terms with it. Did a bit of study here and there, worked within recruitment for people leaving the military, and then was fortunate enough to be offered a job working with Dylan Alcott and one of his new ventures, The Field, although we didn't know what it was called at the time because we are a tech startup. We were in the discovery phase. So the idea was pitched to me that we want to give people with disability an equitable shot at meaningful employment. What does that look like? We didn't know, but here we are nearly 3 years on and we're going to be talking about it today.
Yeah, we are.
I know. I was really bloody impressed with what you guys have done and what you've got on your platform. It was really, really good. And when you and Dylan spoke at the event, it was you answered some very good questions and around the tech and what you were doing there. So tell us, like, 3 years you and Dylan have been on this journey and so where are you at now with the company? Like let's just get into it. What is different about The Field? What do you guys do that's different to any other platform for this disability sector?
Sure. Well, I'd love to also address the fact that there's almost 16 other people in the team. It's not just myself and Dylan or, others. There's multiple incredible people that have come together to build what we've built here. And when I say that, it's a job site built by and for people with disability. First of its kind, where it actually connects people with disability to employers who want to hire more inclusively. And the reason we are so different and so unique to every other job board and every other platform that exists out there is because we were built by people with disability who understood the barriers, who understood not only the barriers in society, but the barriers within a technology process to actually apply for a job. Now, for example, if you go to apply for a job on many platforms, the first thing you're going to get asked is, please provide your driver's license number.
Yep.
Now, I'll let everybody just stop and think how that's problematic. Now,
not everyone has a license. On the platform.
What's that? Sorry,
not everyone has a license.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a license and I can drive. I'm a quadriplegic. Now, it's not uncommon, but there's some people that can't drive. But does that mean they can't work in an office? They can't work from home? They can't work on a phone? You know, no, that's why trains exist. It's why taxis exist. But straight away, if you can't enter that field, the sequential order or the process of the application is no longer valid or possible. So throughout the process of actually applying for a job on the field, when I'm a job seeker, not only do I not pay for a profile, but I get to actually apply for jobs and speak about what I can do as opposed to what I can't. So I'll upload a video resume, an audio resume, or the written resume, and I'll be able to speak to things that are unique to me. So you may see on TV at the moment, our adverts are on Channel 9.
Yes, I saw it on the weekend.
You saw it?
Oh,
yeah,
did
great,
you?
Yeah, great, I did. Great. And it was funny because my wife said, oh, my God, you should get these people on your podcast.
We are.
She said
really?
That. And I said, well, we're talking to them this week. So it was bizarre. Yeah.
Oh, see, I only watch ABC or the SBS, so I don't see.
You've got to watch Maths.
I knew you were going to say that because you watch that shit.
Yeah, there's a catch. You've got to watch that.
Oh, fuck off.
Although we are featuring
No, fuck off, both of you. I'm not watching Maths. I don't care what either of you say.
We're starting a campaign, Joel, to get her on the next series.
To be a contestant.
Yeah.
He Imagine wants it. Me on Maths. I'm like, no way.
Quality television.
You'd be electric.
Oh, God, no. I ended up punching some. They told me a story about Maths this week. Apparently some guy was really offensive and misogynistic. I probably would have gotten up and punched him in the goddamn nose on national television.
It would have been funny. Hey, we've veered away from the topic of the day.
So, of course we do. That's
so, Joel, one of the key things that I've seen when I was looking on the platform, which I loved from a candidate perspective, is the virtual workplace tour.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So the virtual workplace tour is basically, in a nutshell, a virtual workplace tour. So if I want to apply for a job at an office, I could apply for a job on a traditional platform and I'd really be able to read what they're all about or listen to some recordings about what they're about, but I wouldn't be able to see what the intricate details of the office looks like. Now, for someone who doesn't use a wheelchair or doesn't have disability, that may not be significant, but for someone like myself, I want to know that using my wheelchair, I can get around the workplace, I can get through the doorways, I can get into the bathroom, I can visualize the lunchroom and oh, they've got this, that, and the other, they've got a roll under bench, they've got certain amenities within the place. So I know that I can fit or get around the office. Now that's great for an access point of view, but it's also good for a confidence point of view. You can visualize the workplace. You can actually visualize what it's going to look like to work there. And if you can't visualize, there'll be some audio description along the bottom of the video describing what the office would look like. So for someone who would be blind or low vision, that actually makes it easier for them. So it just creates a more accessible and inclusive experience for the job seeker.
Yeah.
And I just want to touch on the fact that the reason that this platform was built, that one of the catalysts for it was the unemployment rate for Australians living with disability has not shifted over the past 30 years in comparison to those living without.
Unbelievable, is it? Particularly where we've got such a tight labour market. There's so many jobs out there, and there's so many people saying, "Well, how do we find people to work?" And if you look at our unemployment rate as a nation compared to say where it was maybe 30 years ago, it's a lot lower. But if the unemployment rate hasn't shifted in the demographic of people living with a disability, that goes to show that we're not looking at people with a disability in terms of bringing them, into the workforce in a more meaningful way.
So there's what, 4.4 million people in Australia living with a disability. Is that right? Around about that?
Yeah.
And 90% of those have non-visible disabilities. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought my numbers were right.
We're not saying that everybody with a disability wants to work, but if they want the chance, if they want to work, this platform is their capability or their ability to have an equitable shot at meaningful employment.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. Even jumping on the platform, the ways that you can engage with the actual platform itself, the filters involved up on the top layer on the top menu bar about different ways to work with people with various different disabilities they're living with, you know, like vision, there's audio, there's different ways that you can interact and get involved with the opportunities on it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, this is designed for a small business who employs one person or a large organization such as Bunnings or Coles, who we are working with, to actually jump on today, create their profile and put a job ad up tonight confidently, because we've got an inclusive language tool where you can wash your documents through there to ensure that your copy or the wording that you're using within your profile or your job ads is considered inclusive and accessible. Yeah, I'll give you one example. If you put a job ad up that says we're looking for a wheelchair-bound individual, it's going to say, hey, we've noticed you've used, it's not going to say, hey, it's going to use a term. It'll say, we've noticed you've used the term wheelchair bound. How about you try the term wheelchair user? Wheelchair bound is not accessible because it implies XYZ.
Yep.
And that's a safe space. That's where you and the machine can work together to come up with the best copy so that you're using the best language. Now, when you're going to interview someone, you're going to see that the job seekers selected they would like to interview, whether it be face-to-face, over the phone or virtually, because that suits them best. Now, that doesn't just cater for someone with disability. It gives everybody. Now, that can apply to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Applying for a job, how they want to be seen, how they want to be heard or interviewed.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You've got the option as a job seeker to select their access requirements. Now, when I say that, I mean for someone like myself who's a power wheelchair user, mine being the visible disability, I need a roll on the desk. I need a clear pathway travel. I need an accessible bathroom. I need a lift to level 42 because I'm not crawling up the stairs.
Mm. Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I used to do it, but I'm 33. I'm getting on now.
You're an old bastard.
Yeah, you can see the wrinkles on my wall. For those that can't see and won't see, there's grey hair and wrinkles. But, you know, these accessibility features or these accessibility requirements, excuse me, on my profile are actually going to match to the accessibility features that exist within a workplace. So if there's a job that's got the same features as my requirements, it's going to match me to it based on my skill set, based on the accessibility requirements, and also the locality. So it's almost like a Tinder type platform where you're getting matched.
I did read in your About Us section on the website that it says that, you know, that to build this you took inspiration from dating sites and job boards. So it's sort of like a combination. But I'm really interested in the matching phase itself, but from an employer perspective, is there a lot more work that you do with potential employers than other job boards may do to get it right up front? So, you know, when the matching occurs, I'm really interested, you know, you talk about Bunnings, you talk about, I think you said Coles and other companies.
You've got some big names.
Yeah. So what sort of process do they go through where you're saying, okay, we've got a site, there may be these sort of roles here. So then you do you walk them through the different types of disabilities people live with and how to find out whether it would be functionally, you know, available to have people work in those environments? How does it all work?
That's a great question. And I guess that would probably be more of a consulting piece to advise on that. But what the field does is actually puts the choice and control in the job seeker. Mm-hmm. So they are the ones that decide whether this job is right for them. You know, I use the example all the time about myself because I'm the subject matter expert on myself and my disability. I'm not going to apply for a job as a shelf stacker or cleaning level 32 windows on an external of a building.
Right.
I'm going to apply for the job that I know I can do that exists on the platform. So we're not asking employers to write a war and peace about, is that the correct term, war and peace? I think that is, yeah.
War and peace.
War and peace, sorry, excuse me. It's too early. And, you know, about
I had a crack at reading it. Don't try it. It took me 10 years.
I said it yesterday. I'm pretty sure I got it wrong again. But if we're not asking employers to make sure that their workplace is, you know, AAA good quality, accessible. We just want them to tell us what exists within the workplace, what the job seeker or what the successful candidate needs to do if they are successful through the recruitment process. Yeah. Because by just telling us what they have in regards to what the employer has, what the workplace has, it just shows that it gives the job seeker the opportunity to decide for themselves if that's the right job for them, if that's the right workplace for them. because other features that exist on a employee's profile would be a company video. So just a bit of a movie promo for their organization. And then also the disability inclusion action plan, if they do have one, or any other inclusive policies that would sit within their organization, and that sits on the company profile. So it gives a really good understanding of what this organization is about, what they want to achieve, or what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, so on and so forth.
So, look, going back to this, like you mentioned Bunnings and things, but you've also got Nike, Dulux, REA Group, just to name a few. So you've got some pretty big brands there. And one of the things that I know I threw this question out to you and Dylan on when you did speak at ATC was, do you have an open API to back into all of your applicant tracking systems? And you guys do, which is amazingly fabulous because that makes life so easy. And I see you've even got big logos there with PageUp, JobAdder and Broadbean.
Yes.
And just to name a few, and we know that Smart Recruiters and Avature and those types of things, even if you haven't already integrated with them, we know that they will work with you to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Great question, because it sometimes is a barrier, the integration capability. And when I say that I mean in regards to, you know, would most of your listeners understand what the ATS system would do?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, great. So, you know, we're working with organisations now who don't have that or who we can't integrate with to find the middle ground. And what that looks like is different for every company. So I won't give, you know, specific examples. But early days, that was a big blocker, but we've started to build that capability.
And that's an important one, because then when you're posting your job ads out to multiple job boards, as most of us know, then obviously we just tick the box, because then the field.jobs is also going to have the odd ad posted out to them as well. And your applicants come directly into you, as we all know how it works. So I think that's a really important thing. Now, some employers shy away from disability recruitment, especially smaller companies, because they think it's too hard. Now, there's government agencies at state and federal level that can offer help here, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is, and it depends what sort of help you're referring to there, Lauren. So you could talk about the, you know, something called job access to modify a workplace. So, you know, now if we're talking about workplace adjustments, which is what I just said, you know, for example, I think it's 88% of people with disability who start a new job do not need workplace adjustments.
There you go. 88%.
Wow. Yeah. And of the 12% that do need a workplace mod, the average cost is $500. Now, that cost can be covered by job access, government department.
Yeah. So it's not going to cost you as an employer a single bloody cent.
No. Yeah. And, you know, it's important to note as well, we're not talking about, I think hardware is a really, obviously it's an important piece for people to jump into a workplace, but it's people's bias, you know, misunderstanding around disability that needs to be overcome first, because, you know, disability seems to be really, people are a bit frightened to speak about it or to ask the question. But generally, if it's the question you want to ask, it's the right question.
Yeah.
If you think it's the wrong question, it's probably the right question, because it's coming from a good place. And if you want to give somebody a good shot at getting a job within your workplace, ask the question. You know, come to us if you want to ask even more.
And I think it's important that a lot of the myths are busted. So again, off your website, on your video on your website, you know, it's mentioned that 90% of people with disabilities have equal or greater productivity rates than people without disabilities, and 86% have an average or superior attendance rate. And these are sort of things that employers will be thinking, right? They clock, because employers on the whole are looking for negative reasons for everything, right? Ways to either save money, ways to either, you know, they shit themselves about anything. But if you're proving and showing these stats, it makes the decision so much easier, or the barriers lower to entry for people living with disabilities.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, stats are great. Stats can be used for the better or for the worse. Yeah. But I mean, in this particular example, you know, the stats are there. And in regards to higher productivity rates, I think, you know, that comes off the back of people with disability having to overcome or go about their day so differently to everybody else that you know, they've just got an innate ability to be creative, to overcome challenges, and to be good problem solvers.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting.
I mean, I know I am more so than what I used to be, that's for sure, before my injury.
Yeah, we've spoken to some people in the past with some neurodiverse challenges, and for them it was all about finding the right role in the right environment with the right understanding. And from there, they've proven that they're far more productive than other people with, you know, in a similar role. It's really interesting that, you know, with the field, you're really making the effort to get people into the right role with the right support, and the efficiencies and the benefits will result from that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we could sit here and talk about the warm and fuzzies all day about, you know, it's great to employ people of XYZ demographic, but giving somebody with disability, yeah, it's great. But if we talk about it from a business sense, it's 20% of the market in regards to people with disability in Australia. 20%. Now, obviously not all of that 20% are going to be job ready or want to work, but you're still talking about a large portion of untapped talent that just hasn't had a chance to get a job, an equitable shot at employment. Yeah. Now, the field actually gives employers access to that untapped talent.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, we know a few people in our industry in talent acquisition who have ADHD and full diagnosis, et cetera. Some of them are in managerial roles in talent. Some are in branding and marketing. And they have, like, speaking to them about how they've managed that. And they are just in great organisations who offer that level of understanding. And sometimes that's all it takes, is a bit of patience and understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's freaking hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, sometimes employers say, oh, but, you know, if we employ someone with disability, we need to understand how they're going to be in the workplace, because we want to make sure they're set up for when a customer gets angry at them, or we want to make sure they're set up for when XYZ goes wrong. And my question would be, do you provide that same sort of training for if something goes wrong, inverted commas, to people who don't have disability?
Yeah.
And there are
no.
No. Yeah. So why is this suddenly different? Why are you trying to give it a different experience or a different example? Just onboard your staff, onboard your people the same way. Because also what the field introduces is a universal way for talent acquisition to actually onboard everybody, because none of these features, video resume, audio resume, written resume, or preferences in a workplace, are really narrowing down to only people with disability. It just allows anybody to be seen, heard, or interviewed how they want.
Yeah. It makes a hell of a lot of sense, doesn't it? I think that there'll be a lot of people listening today in the talent function who'll be saying, wow, we, you know, this is something that we would really like to get involved with. What I did notice is that there's a 14-day free trial for new users. So in terms of people wanting to get involved, I know they could do it via the website, but maybe had some questions. What would be the best way of tackling that, Joel?
Of getting involved with the field?
Yeah, yeah. So if they wanted to ask questions, would they contact you? Would they contact someone else? How would it work?
Yeah, they could contact anybody at the field, myself, joel@thefield.jobs, or they could go onto the field website and there'll be a contact us option. There's an Instagram page and a LinkedIn profile as well. So, you know, there's various ways to reach out. We've got customer support dedicated to help out within at least 6 hours, people's requests or questions will be answered. We've got a marketing team. We've got myself in the BD team. So there's numerous people they can come to ask for help. Brilliant. But don't ask me anything technical, because that's really
not your sweet spot.
The IT stuff, I just go straight to our IT team.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're hired for, Dale.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been having a look at some of the roles that you've actually got in here as well. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a talent acquisition manager role that's advertised at the moment. So that's people in our remit. So that's a fabulous one. That's just only been advertised last month. You've got financial accountants, capability development managers, head of project management office, accounts receivable. There are so many different roles here that you could go in, and these are just everyday roles. So you guys out there need to be adding the field to your job board collection in your ATS.
It gives you access to a different stream or a different channel of applicants that you're
missing out. And we bitch about it constantly, peeps. Mm. So here it's and I looked at your pricing and your bundle pricing. You're cheaper than most job boards out there now.
Yes, yes. We don't have a variable cost. We have a fixed cost, and we are probably in line with market value.
Are you cheaper?
Cheaper, there you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to mention as well for the talent people out there, I spent 7 years in recruitment helping people leave the military, and I was bored reading resumes. What you will see when you go on the field is people's video resume. You'll see videos of them at home doing something unique, like perhaps carrying 3 plates if they've got a limb difference. You might even see it on the TV. You're going to see things on a person's profile that you're not going to get on traditional platforms, and it's going to make your job more fun and easier.
Like, I work with a disability called Craig every day.
Jeez, that's just not on, is it? That's not on.
You are. Well, I had to tell him how to teach the tell a time before. Bloody boomer.
She's not very nice sometimes, Joel.
I tell you, Joel, he comes at me tapping his watch, going, we've got to get on. We've got 5 minutes, Dick.
Yeah, see, this is why she'd be so good on maths.
Absolutely.
Car crash TV.
I don't know what the scenes are, but I know they're sitting around a table always having a go at each other.
Yeah, it's exactly like it.
So, look, I just think it's a no-brainer. You guys out there, check this out. And Joel, he's the account manager. I'm sure he works on commission. Give him some. We were talking about the price of fucking groceries before, and I can tell you now that's not good. Yeah. He's got kids to feed.
Yes, I do. And myself.
So in terms of the field, I guess, you know, it's been a journey. It's been a 3-4 year journey. With where you are now, are there, and without having to give them away here, are you looking to add different elements to what you're doing, to looking at new areas and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, look, a roadmap is always there. Our function and capability is, I wouldn't say restricted, but, you know, tech is expensive, right?
Yeah.
And we want to build a platform and make sure that it's accessible and inclusive for the user from end to end. We're talking for employers and job seekers. We want to build trust, and we want to build a brand, and we're doing that. We're doing it slowly but surely. We want to grow, and we are growing. I mean, Jesus, we have grown. We've gone from one person up to 17 people in the past.
That's good.
3 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We're getting stronger and stronger, but like I said, we want to make sure that we're growing and we're building a platform that's still user friendly. You know, because when we first launched, there was a lack of trust, and there probably still is, from people with disability because of their bad experiences in the past. But they're not having bad experiences on the field.
Yeah. And I think that anybody listening who is serious about inclusion in their organisation needs to jump on the website and have a look at the capability there, because it really is very easy, but it also is doing stuff that no one else has ever done before in terms of engaging an area of the population. So, and I know the key messaging from the video and on the website is equality applies here.
So
think about that. After you've listened to this today or during, go away and think about, say, does equality apply in your workplace? Have you got the desire to get involved and really be inclusive?
And I also, if you're not sure, get on and have a look. Have a look at the jobs being advertised.
Yeah.
These are all big names, small names, companies we see on Indeed, we see on Seek, we see on Jura, we see on all of the other job boards offering the jobs that we see that they have on those job boards. This is just a new job board that you're going to open up 20% more
candidates
that are available in this country.
Yeah.
So it's a no-brainer. It really is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Hey, yeah. Joel, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. And, you know, again, even the amount of growth you've had as a business since November has been amazing. So we're going to keep an eye on your journey and really sort of, you know, make sure that everyone is aware of the field and what you're doing out there.
Yep, absolutely. I think that this is just something you've just got to get on board. It's got to be part of your toolkit in talent acquisition.
Yep. Okay, love mate. It. Hey, like I said, thanks for spending some time with us today. Really appreciate it. And don't forget, if you want to get involved, reach out to Joel. It's joel@thefield.jobs.
Yep.
.jobs. And
or
on that
Joel Sardi on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And on that note, it's a goodbye from me today.
And a goodbye from me, everybody. Support for today's podcast comes from Avature, the AI-powered total talent platform trusted by 110 of the Fortune 500 companies.
What a beautiful voice you have, Lauren. From initial candidate engagement through onboarding, talent mobility and opportunity marketplace, Avature enables organisations to meet their unique needs and bring their TA and TM vision to life.
Visit avature.net and discover why companies like Woolworths, Macquarie Group, CBRE, Bupa, Fletcher Building, Fonterra and Australia Post choose Avature to power their recruiting and talent management strategies.
That is a bloody big list of clients. And don't forget to mark your calendars for the one-day summit hosted by Avature on March 21st in Sydney, where you can exchange ideas with top HR leaders. Register now via the link in the show notes.
And don't forget to tell them
Tarpod sent you.
Thanks for listening to Tarpod, and please don't forget to subscribe. And make sure you listen to the outtakes at the end of the episode. They're usually the best bit.
There's a few things that you can't get in Audi that I will, but I'm just going to have to start doing the Wanda because, like, I just essentials to go through the meals this week was $180
for one person
and the dog.
And yeah, but
it was just insane.
Wow.
I know.
Lauren eats a lot, though.
I do not, you fat bastard.